Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter, as we hear verses 6 through 15 that speak of God's gift. We just sang of God's gift of love. So let us hear what Paul writes of God and God's gift. He writes, "The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're going to learn a new word this morning. You ready for it? The word is didomi. Didomi. Say it with me. Didomi. All right. It's spelled D-I-D-O-M-I. Didomi. Any guesses what language this word might come to us from? Nope. Ah, yes. Greek. Yeah. This is a word that comes to us from the Greek language. And it's a verb. It means to give. Didomi, to give. Now, this word is found only a small 413 times in the New Testament. Just a small word, but an important word. It's found in our scripture reading today from 2 Corinthians. Now, this verb, to give, has lots of different literal and figurative uses in scripture. Its uses include giving something to someone else, giving a gift, giving to someone who is asking, supplying necessary things, delivering something, committing and entrusting, administering, paying as wages or as a reward, handing out, to appoint to an office, to follow someone as a leader, to return something, and many more. Both the giver and the recipient have roles to play with the word didomi. Both parties have agency and action. And our scripture lesson this morning is quite instructive on giving, how it can and should be done. We're going to look at this two or three verses at a time. The first two verses, verses 6 and 7 from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, speak of us, disciples of Jesus Christ, as those who give, who have something to give. And at this point, Paul is speaking monetarily. Just 2 short months ago, I preached on monetary giving. So I won't go into all of that detail today. If you want to have a refresher, the sermon's on the website. It was the 3rd Sunday of September. However, what I do want to do is let us hear what these 2 verses from Scripture say again. Paul writes, "The point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The next 3 verses, verses 8 through 10, remind us that we give because God gave to us first. God has already given to us. God has gifted us abundantly, and it is in response to God's generosity that we give. Paul writes, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." God gives good and bountiful gifts to us, granting that we increase both in life and in spirit. The next 2 verses, verses 11 and 12, remind us that generosity is a key to opening up gratitude. Our gratitude to God overflows as our response to God's gifts in our lives. And our generosity to others is a part of doing God's work. Paul writes, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us, for the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God." Verses 13 and 14 are where Paul acknowledges that giving isn't easy. It isn't a natural inclination that we have. It's a test of the ministry of generosity, he says, of giving. However, by obedience to God, by continuing to give, even when it's not the thing that we most want to do, by sharing our resources, we glorify God and recognize God's amazing grace. Paul writes it this way. He says, "Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by your generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you." The final verse this morning is pretty clear. It says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." And lest we forget that gift or be confused as to what Paul might be referring to, let's clear the air. God's indescribable gift is the gift of salvation, free to every person, not merited or earned, something that we don't get because we behave in a certain way, or because we're smart, or because we look in a particular fashion. We receive this most precious gift from God when we repent of our sins and when we ask Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. That's it. God's free gift to us. And instantly, God forgives our sin, our wrongdoing, all of it. And instantly, God welcomes us into God's own family as a beloved son or daughter, redeemed and saved, chosen of God. It's a gift of indescribable worth, a true treasure, something that is priceless and yet is freely given by God. We're reminded in Scripture that God gives good gifts. And usually those good gifts are going to look different for each of us. And that's a beautiful and wonderful thing. How many of you would like the exact same gift on your birthday that everyone else in the sanctuary gets on their birthday. Not many of us. You see, I don't think that the same gift that Ben is going to get for his birthday is going to be the same gift that would really have the exact same impact on me if I got it for my birthday. What works for Ben may or may not work for me. And what works for me, what I would think of as a great gift, may or may not be a great gift for Ben. And that's okay. He might even say it wasn't a good gift, whatever I got for my birthday, if it was given to him for his birthday. And I might say the same about a gift for him for his birthday. But God gives us good gifts. God gives us gifts like salvation and mercy, compassion and unstoppable love. God gives us daily blessings. And so I'm happy to say that I rely on God's good gift giving. For if I had to solely be reliant on my own gift giving, it wouldn't amount to much. I wouldn't be in front of you. Maybe you can say the same about yourself. Left to your own devices, we wouldn't nearly be the same people that we are with God. The people we are without God is not much, but the people we are with God is pretty amazing. We were never intended to be fully self-reliant. Our culture may tell us that it's a good thing to pull ourselves up, to be a self-made person, to be completely self-reliant. But friends, if we're completely self-reliant, we've cut out God from the picture. We were never intended to be fully self-reliant. We are intended to be reliant on God, God's good gifts in our lives are just what we need. God is the one who gives us what we need. And God's been doing it since the beginning of our time. God was the one who knew us being knit together cell by cell in our mother's womb from before anyone else ever knew us or had thought of us. God was there already giving us good gifts. That's good news. And here's more good news. Sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, we get to be a part of God's gift giving. We may not realize it. We might be oblivious to it. Or we may be all too painfully aware that we are a part of God's gift giving. I read several headlines this week and stories about people who were gifts to others, even though they'll probably never know the full extent of the story. Let me give you an example. There's a woman, we'll call her Clara, who lives in an apartment complex in a lower middle class part of another town. She felt compelled one day to give a small gift to her neighbors. She lives in an apartment complex that has one of those community laundry rooms where there's washers and dryers floor to ceiling around the outside perimeter of the room, where everyone comes in lugging their clothes, sticks their quarters in the washer, throws their clothes in, scrounges up some more quarters, sticks them in the slots in the dryer, and begins to dry their clothes. As Claire was doing her laundry, she felt the nudge of God to be a part of God's gift giving in the world. She felt God nudging her to do something about someone else's laundry. So she started looking for quarters. You know, the thing you do where you dig through the couch cushions or the cup holders in your car or the tubs of spare change that you collect in your house. Claire started rummaging through them, looking for quarters. She was hoping to find enough to fill every slot on two different washers and two different dryers to give someone all they needed to wash their clothes and dry them. However, the best she could come up with was 5 quarters, enough to fill 1 washing machine. She didn't let it deter her. She stuck the 5 quarters in the little places that were in the tray for them and took a laundry detergent pod and set it on the tray too, and then wrote out a sticky note, letting her neighbor know that she had a gift for him or her, that the washer was set up, ready to be loaded with clothes, just toss the detergent in and start it. She also included on that sticky note that she was praying for the person who would use the washer. Now, I wish I could tell you the rest of the story, the part about the unsuspecting neighbor who comes into the laundry room and sees a washer ready to go for them just when they found they didn't have enough quarters to do their laundry in a desperate moment. But I can't tell you that part of the story because I don't know it. Neither does Clara. You see, that's one of the difficult things sometimes about giving, is we don't know the final outcome, the final impact of our gift. We don't often hear about the difference our gift has made to others, and we don't often share the difference a gift has made in our lives, particularly to the people who make that difference, who have given that gift. Sometimes because it's been several years for us to be able to realize the full extent of the gift. There isn't always a thank you card for that. But before we end today, I want to tell you thank you for some gifts that you have given as a congregation, that you continue to give, but gifts that we don't usually know the end result of. Gifts that we don't know the final impact of yet. Our missional giving as individuals and as a congregation is important. It's a gift that we share locally and around the world. Collectively, so far as a congregation, you've given just shy of $22,000 to mission. Now, that's not any of the money that you see listed on the back of the bulletin. In addition to that that's listed, you have given nearly $22,000 to mission this year. And I anticipate that we'll be around $24,000 by the end of the year. That's pretty amazing. And that doesn't count material items. Things that you've brought in, food that you've purchased for Heartfelt, for our backpack ministries, clothes and school supplies that you've purchased for Pajama Connection and brought in, the things that you bring every month for Helping Hands, the donations that our United Methodist women collect and give to partners in ministry and mission in our community. It doesn't count the meals that you've provided for the Angel Watch shelter, for the women and children who are there. It doesn't include mission projects that are supported by our preschool. And it doesn't account for things that are less tangible. Things like the time you've spent reading to children in elementary schools, the time that you've spent serving in food pantries, the hours you've spent packing tote bags for Pajama Connection and backpacks for Heartfelt, the time you've given to your friends and neighbors, to those whom we serve through Camp Joy with building ramps and clearing brush, the times that you've spent knitting and crocheting hats and blankets and mats and bags and prayer shawls. The gifts you give are amazing and appreciated. And I don't want you to not hear me say thank you. You don't hear it enough. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for the ways that you give. Thank you for the ways that you serve. Thank you for giving to the Lord and for allowing the Lord to give through you. this month, for the following 2 weeks, we're going to keep building on this idea of giving thanks. What is it to be thankful? What is it to cultivate a grateful heart? As we approach a national holiday later this month called Thanksgiving, we're going to turn to Scripture and look at what the Bible has to say about thanks and about giving thanks, about what gratitude does for our spiritual health and our faith journey with Jesus. So thank you. And thanks, God. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the way that you have gifted us, for the ways that you pour out gifts into our lives, gifts that we don't deserve, that we don't earn, that we don't merit. Lord, there's gifts that we recognize, and there are gifts that we have yet to find. Treasures that we still seek, Lord. Help us to be those who are gifts in your name. Gifts to our community, gifts to our family, gifts to your world. May we be those who are known for our generosity and who channel your generous giving, O God. Amen.